What up, son? Word.
Yeah. To all the... This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, quick segment here because Jeff Van Gundy is going to join us at the 45 mark, 10 minutes from now. So you want to be here for that. Jeff is always awesome. Oliver Luck is going to join us at 8:30 right here. And I did tell him to bring some kolaches or breakfast tacos.
Yeah. John goes, Oliver Luck's coming in. I said, tell him to bring breakfast. What?
I'm looking out for the team. How I take care? Oh, did you?
Dell, that's hashtag squad did you tell, goals. I think that's squad goals, I think.
Well, did you happen to tell?
Jeff Van Gundy said now, if you want to go now.
Oh, yeah. Let's do now.
Do you have his number, Dell?
Dell should have his number.
Yeah.
Let's go. What?
Just saying the clock, but whatever.
Oh,
we'll zip past the clock.
We'll worry about that later. We'll worry about the clock later, Todd. Okay? Yeah.
What were you saying?
Now we're going to talk some basketball with Jeff Van Gundy. And listen.
Well, you can talk Super Bowl or whatever you want with Jeff Van Gundy too. He watches everything.
Well, yeah. I'm sure. I'm pretty sure. Did you see the kid on West Virginia yesterday that tripped the Texas Tech player?
No.
Oh yeah. He goes to the bench. He's flying through the air to block a three. He lands near their bench, and the West Virginia kid, Logan Rout, big white kid that wasn't getting on the floor ever, trips him, and they tossed him. You get ejected for tripping a guy that's running by.
Grayson Allen rule?
Yeah, I guess. But this, I guess if you're on the Grayson Allen didn't get kicked out. He just got.
No, I know. Maybe they set it up for Grayson.
Or I guess if you're on the bench,
when Grayson Allen couldn't stop. That was the weirdest thing to me. He couldn't stop tripping people.
Right. He's a serial tripper.
Yeah. There he is right there.
There's Jeff Van Gundy
Coach
here.
Coach Jeff Van Gundy, we still call him Coach. I think that I consider Coach a term of endearment to call somebody Coach.
Yeah.
So we have Coach Jeff Van Gundy on right now, obviously lead analyst basketball for ESPN/ABC, the conglomerate. And sometime football commentary guy also, as he is a Texan season ticket holder. First of all, welcome to the show, Coach. How you doing?
What's going on, guys?
I mean, it was a bad Super Bowl, though. I recognize the good defensive stuff. I thought Wade Phillips, from a strategy standpoint, did fantastic.
But you and Thibodeau loved that Super Bowl, Coach.
No way.
Oh, no. I mean, I would have loved to see Wade Phillips win, but happy for the coaches of New England. But, like, as far as action, it was boring.
You can't appreciate a good defensive stop?
Yeah, but it was some bad offense, too.
Yeah, no.
Well, maybe if I knew the sport better, I could. But, no, I don't understand football very well, so I want to see, like, action.
Yeah, this is now Jeff Van Gundy. Well, boy, things have really changed, Coach. They've changed you over. The NBA has made you soft. You know, now you want scores in the 40s and 50s in football.
You turned into Jeff D'Antoni.
The 1990s Eastern Conference doesn't even recognize you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd also say this, that, I thought the halftime show of the Super Bowl got, like, killed for no reason. I think people didn't want to see that. So maybe I'm soft, maybe I'm boring because I liked Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Well, you were
alone.
You are on an island on that one, Coach. Well, no, there's not a lot of love for it. You're right.
All right.
No, why? I don't understand why. Was it like bad music? I don't know.
Well, it was a little flat.
He showed nipples.
The shirt coming off. Yeah. That wasn't everyone wanted.
That was unfortunate for everybody. Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5.
I thought you need to let Coach go on a little bit more about the Maroon 5. I feel like you got more things to say on that, Coach.
Well, if you have anything else, Coach, you'd like to add about...
No, I have nothing. I'm just like, my thing is on like the Super Bowl and the whole thing was the expectations get risen so high that you're almost always disappointed. And commercials, they get rated F and A and bad. Who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
That's all I hear now. The commercials were terrible. I didn't think the commercials were that bad. I thought they were okay.
As long as you
hear. I loved the one on Bublé. I thought that was good.
Where he's changing
the name. Yeah,
yeah. You know what? We are in a society right now where you have to take a strong hyperbolic stand where everything has to be the absolute elite best or the absolute trash worst. It's like there's no middle ground anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a good point.
I didn't like Bud Light trash and Coors Light, though. I'll tell you that right now. That we can't have that. Jeff Van Gundy here with us on ESPN 97.5. We were talking a little bit about the Anthony Davis thing a little bit earlier. I don't know, Coach, if you're going to give up Kuzma and Ingram and Ball and Pope and two first round draft picks. I don't know. I don't know that it's a great deal for the Lakers. What do you think?
I would drive them there. If I was anybody in L.A. to get Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. You can have them all. Like, and they're all pretty good. And one may develop into really good, like Ingram or maybe Kuzma. But Anthony Davis is an elite NBA talent who in the playoffs, you know, he's got this durability issue in the regular season. He's always nicked up. He's sitting out. But as far as if you get him in the playoffs, he is a dominant, dominant player. And so, yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat.
So you don't think that the periphery is going to be – how difficult, I guess, to get guys to L.A. to play with those two? I guess they will be able to fill in everything else. But we've seen that if you have those stars and nothing around them, that you're going to – that you got a possibility of struggling.
Well, if you look at LeBron last year with Cleveland, right, he had a lot of nothing around him at times, and he was still able to get them, you know, to the finals. So, you know, other than Love, Tristan Thompson played, you know, fairly well, but other than that, they didn't really have a lot last year play well. And I just think greatness, as you see it with Houston every night, greatness drives, you know, the whole league. And to have James and Davis, this year you'd have a hard time replenishing and restocking your roster to fit around them. But going forward, I think it's a no-brainer for L.A.
You know, Coach, this is I think this is interesting with what's going on. L.A. is always going to be an interesting storyline with LeBron there. But when you look at how LeBron is now having to, I think he's got to enter a different stage of his career. And you can already see him making nice with Kyrie Irving. This has been in the works. LeBron went to L.A. Everyone said, well, he can't win in L.A. That was, wow, I can't believe he's going in L.A. because they're not ready to win this year. He never looked at it as winning this year. He looked at it as free agency in 2019 is going to be loaded. And let me just set the groundwork in 2019, which is smart. But I think if he's going to get a Kyrie Irving and guys like that in, this is no. It can no longer be about LeBron's team and you fit in. He's got to convince whoever that this is also their team, and he's just going to help shepherd them into them becoming the guy. While he is going to be, you know, he'll obviously be the guy right now. But I think he's got to sell it as we're co-guys, and I'm going to back out while you're the guy in due time. I think that's how he has to sell that.
Well, somewhat like Dwayne Wade did for LeBron James in Miami. And I think you're absolutely right. I don't think there's a natural rush for free agents to go and partner with James because they think they're going to take a back seat. I think you're right. He's going to have to sell that. No, I'm now 35, 36. We're going to do it together, and we're going to recruit other players together. And it's no longer, I'm not going to refer to you as my guys. It's our team. And I think that's important for their recruiting efforts and free agency. And it'll be interesting to see if James can make that adjustment.
We got Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. Have the Celtics started to figure this out, Coach?
Well, I think they're really good. I know there's a lot of hand-wringing because people expected them to be great right from the start. And like Houston, who they both lost in the conference finals at home in a game 7 last year, both teams started, I think, with a hangover. I think Harden brought Houston out of their hangover with his great play. And I think the depth of Boston, while it's great in the long term, hurt Boston in the short term, because I think with Irving and Hayward back, everybody's roles were a little different than they were last year, and I think that hurt their efficiency early. And I think from there, they've started to reestablish their defense. Their offense has gotten progressively better during the year, and I still think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference come playoff time.
Yeah.
You know, the Houston Rockets, it is going to be interesting because James Harden, we know about this scoring pace, and as long as it doesn't have an impact, we know that James has to score, and we get that. As long as it doesn't have an impact on the way the team needs to play once they're at full strength, then that's fine if they can go back to what they did last year. But I want to ask you that question. When you have a guy like James Harden, and this is a unique situation where he was in a uniquely I'm the guy spot with all these injuries for a while there in December into January, how hard is it going to be to dial this back into the team and the chemistry they had last year where it becomes more ball sharing, less ball dominating? How tough is that going to be?
Oh, I don't think they should necessarily try to be like they were last year because their team is so different. I think the number one issue for the Rockets is how good can Chris Paul play? You know, is he going to be really, really good like he was last year, or is he going to be pretty good like he's been this year? If he can be really, really good, then I think they have a chance in any series, because that allows Harden on certain possessions, and also when Harden rests, for them to keep the offense going. I like their pickup of Austin Rivers. I think Eric Gordon hasn't shot the ball like he did. He's going to have to continue to find that rhythm. And I think then it comes down to the Ariza role. You know, can Ennis, or who can play that consistently well? But I think Harden should be aggressive. I don't think their issues with Harden on the floor are going to be him holding the ball too much, because, listen, he played the same way last year in many cases. If they switch, he's going to handle it and overhandle it to some people's liking, but he's still going to be able to create a good shot for himself or for his teammates. I think the issues are going to be defense and depth. And it'll be interesting to see after the buyout market if they're able to improve their depth.
Wes Matthews, would he be a good fit here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Wes Matthews. I mean, again, his injury history has prevented him from playing to the level he was prior to injury, but he's still a volume three-point shooter, which fits in perfectly with their philosophy. And he is a great, great competitor. And you can never have too much shooting and too many competitors.
No. Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. And what about the addition of, I think, Kenneth Faried? And by the way, you said they're such a different team than last year. I guess because Chris Paul is not that same guy that he was last year in large part. But did Trevor Ariza and Bamute mean that much to this basketball team?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They're good players. Ariza is, like, to me, a great middle reliever. He can eat up minutes and defend, and he shot it and he drove it. And listen, it's hard to replace those guys. You know, James Ennis, while a guy who has had good minutes, to achieve consistency of both durability and play to Ariza's level, he's not there. And so, yeah, they miss those guys. And I think you mentioned Faried, right? So it shows you Harden's greatness that Faried, who cannot be in a rotation for Denver and then Brooklyn, can come in and from day one play well for the Rockets, because Harden attracts so much attention. Mike does a great job of incorporating new players, keeps it simple. He's to screen and sprint to the basket, and then rebound and defend as hard as he can. I think it's been a great addition.
You know, that's one of the – I mean, Faried has been fantastic. I think one of the things about Trevor Ariza that people don't really take into account as much is that Trevor Ariza meant a lot off the court too, and that's something that fans aren't privy to. And we have Joel Blank over here, luckily, who – has that experience in the background. And, you know, he's talked about it before. He said Trevor Ariza, there's just – he is so respected in that locker room, and he clicks with so many different people. And I think that's something that you have to have that with some of the big personalities and with James. That's kind of important to find that right guy as well. And it will, that will never show up in a box score, but that's an important facet of NBA basketball too.
Well, absolutely. And let's face it, it's hard if you're one of those other guys. You can go up and down the court multiple trips without touching the ball, right? I mean, your job is to space the floor, stand in wherever you're spotted up, and if your man helps, be ready to shoot and be happy about it. That's not easy, and particularly for younger players who want to be more actively involved in the offense and have it to be more of an egalitarian type of offense. But for Houston, I think what Mike has done has figured out how they play their very best. That doesn't mean it's easy, though, on your ego to do that role. And so getting back to Ariza, I thought he did that, he accepted that, and I think that allowed other players that played with him to say, if Ariza, who's been in this league over a decade, can figure it out and be happy and content with it, so too can others.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd use the word egalitarian today, but okay. I'm just saying. That's all.
Hey, listen, I love words. So, like, trump that if you can, John.
Egalitarian. Oh. He's not getting. Well, egalitarian's going
to
win.
You had to bring politics into it now, trumping it. Okay.
This is
a politics-free show.
Now you're ready for a Twitter. Someone probably got offended by that.
Probably. Are you a little disappointed, or are you happy with the Wade Miley signing, or did you think Jeff Luneau should have done more this offseason?
I say that we always wait and see, right? I think so much is made of in every sport now about the offseason instead of waiting to see the actual results. And I think the Astros, like, it's hard. You know, you have that many good players, you're going to lose some people. And it's just how it is. But that doesn't mean we also know that it will negatively impact the final product and the results. So I'm going to say this. I think the Astros are going to withstand it, and I think they're going back to the World Series.
Are you – Oliver Luck is coming in studio with us in about a half an hour here. Are you disappointed that his son Andrew is the Texans' daddy?
Man, he's good, isn't he?
He's really good.
Man.
They had to lose him for 2 years just to make it happen.
Well, you know what? That he was able to come back. I don't know what the rehab was or why it was so slow, but man, it worked. And I just also like how he carries himself. Besides being a great quarterback,
yeah,
I just love the way he competes and he carries himself. And Mr. Luck, man, he's had multiple jobs. Right?
Every other week.
He's been in West Virginia. He's been in the NCAA. Now he's doing this other
thing. He ran the Dynamo.
Sports Authority, too, right?
Yeah, Sports Authority, Dynamo, NCAA, West Virginia. Now he's running the XFL.
He's the Larry Brown of, like, running things.
He'll be here for a week, and then we'll see what his next job is.
I think it's awesome.
Did you go to the playoff game?
Of course.
Very disappointed.
You know Coach reps the Texans and Rockets on the broadcast.
I know that.
You know what it is? It's like I thought that when they hammered us at home in the regular season, I thought that would serve us well. And also, what it just was is they're a lot better than us right now.
Yep, that's the case.
That's all it is. By the way, what'd you...
Just picking up a couple offensive linemen did that.
What do you think? Yeah, well, that's part of it, but Ballard makes... And getting your quarterback back is kind of big.
That was kind of a big deal.
That's kind of a big deal. But what did you think about... what do you think about the thought running around? Because I've been advocating this for a while. I think you have too, John. The Texans have money for Le'Veon Bell. While I'm not typically in favor of paying a ton of money at running back, I think that's a unique opportunity to get a guy who helps you in the run game and helps your quarterback in the passing game with dump-offs. And I would be willing to take a look at big money for Le'Veon Bell because you have it. You got cap room for it.
Well, I don't know too much about the cap implications, but he's obviously a uniquely talented back. You know, now that position, correct me if I'm wrong, but has been sort of devalued.
Yes.
But the thing that I worry about is, to me, you have to have a line and a running back that can run the ball some, because I was scared for Watson sometimes this year. He holds the ball a lot. He takes a lot of hits. You know, no one wants to play with their backup quarterback. I think we were, you know, frankly, very fortunate that on some of those scrambles and hits that he absorbed, that he didn't get hurt. So whatever protects him, we need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. That's Coach. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging with us. Always great talking to you. Continue the great work there on ABC and ESPN.
All right. Take care, guys.
There's Jeff Van Gundy right here with us on ESPN 97.5. I got to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolfen. He is awesome at what he does. He's got a commercial out just about the Saints, okay? And he is going to save you money because the Saints lost and they got jobbed by the NFL. I don't know what the two, how they're related, but all I know is this, is that he cares about people. He's up with people. That's what he is. That's what John Clay Wolf does every single day. You can hear his show right after the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on ESPN 97.5 Saturday mornings. What I need you to do, though, is if you need to sell your car, you go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. It's ridiculous for you not to stop there and see what your car is worth, because he guarantees he's going to give you the best price. If he can't beat CarMax or Texas Direct Auto, then he is going to pay you $100. Nobody else is doing that. So you will get your best price. So it doesn't make any sense. And he says Houston is the best market. Everybody here is realistic about what their car is worth. You know, for a 2006 Ford pickup, you don't want $80,000. We're just realistic here. So he loves dealing with Houston. He will give you the best price. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.